Now, as we come to Ezra, I'd like to make some preliminary statements that will help us to understand this book. We've come now to the last of the historical books, but they do not follow ad seriatim. That means one right after the other. Now, last time, when we were back here in the Old Testament, we concluded with 2 Chronicles, and we saw that the southern kingdom of Judah went into captivity for 70 years. And we haven't had a word from them since they went into Babylonian captivity. Now, Ezra picks up that study. The fact of the matter is, we have now 3 historical books that are called post-captivity books. And 3 of them are historical: Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Then there are 3 that are prophetical: Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, Ezra and Nehemiah belong together. Ezra was a priest, Nehemiah was a layman, and they worked together in such a way that God's will was accomplished in Jerusalem. And we have Haggai and Zechariah. They worked together and encouraged the people to rebuild the temple. Now, Haggai was practical, as we're going to see when we get to his book. He carried a ruler with him. He said 2 + 2 = 4. He measured the temple. Everything, you know, had to be brought right down to the ground, laid out, and that was the way to do it. He's not very romantic or poetic, but he sure was practical. Now, Zechariah is a dreamer. This man, Haggai, had his feet on the ground. Zechariah had his head in the clouds. Well, Zechariah, for instance, saw a woman in a bushel basket going through the air. My friend, that's poetical. Haggai had never seen that. And the interesting thing, Zechariah would never concern himself about the measurements of the temple and the fact that you had to have doors in it and a foundation under it. You need these 2 men to go together. You need the practical man and the poet to walk along together. And these were the 2 men God put together. And he put together a priest and put together a layman, this man Nehemiah. And Ezra and Nehemiah, they were the ones that built the temple and the city. And Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilt them, I probably should say. Now, if you'll notice that the book of Ezra is a book that deals with the Word of God. In fact, he's one of the characters of the Scripture who has been almost forgotten. He's never received proper recognition. To begin with, he was a descendant of Hilkiah, the high priest. You find that in Ezra 7:1, who found a copy of the law during the reign of Josiah and led in, actually, a revival. Ezra's going to lead in a revival also. Now, Ezra was a priest, but he was unable to serve during the captivity. There was no temple. It had been destroyed. But he gave his time to the study of the Word of God. We're told in Ezra 7:6 that he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. He was a great revivalist and a great reformer. The revival began with the reading of the Word of God by Ezra. We'll see that in Nehemiah 8. Also, he was probably the writer of 1 and 2 Chronicles, and also of Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, right in the center of the Bible, and it's all about the Word of God. It exalts the Word of God. And he organized the synagogue. He was the founder of the order of the scribes. He helped settle the canon of Scripture, and he arranged the Psalms. I want to say that we ought to pay tribute to Ezra. He was the first to begin a revival of Bible study. And isn't this God's program for a revival? We've had no revival in our day. Dwight L. Moody made this statement, and he saw revival. He said the next revival will be a revival of Bible study. And all the boys have been trying to whip it up by organization by methods, by using this gimmick and that gimmick, and some of them have done right well. The only problem is there's been no revival. We've seen no revival in our day. Tragic, isn't it? It's too bad they haven't come to the Word of God. Oh, pray that today the church will come back to the Word of God. Now, there's a great many references in Ezra to the Word of God. In fact, there are 10 direct references to the Word of God. And the place of the Word of God is seen in the total life of His people. I read a letter from a poor Japanese woman way out yonder in Hawaiian Island. It's on the big island of Hawaii. And the cults have been after her. But in her own church, she has never had to open the Bible. Wonder what they've been doing in the church, making paper dolls, having lectures on sex and on methods. May I say to you that everything but the Word of God has been taught. They trembled at the words of the God of Israel. It's the way Ezra put it in Ezra 9:4 and again in 10:3. Now, Dr. James M. Gray's made this statement. I'd like to read it to you. We already have seen that the Babylonian captivity did not bring the Jews to national repentance and so lead to national restoration. As the reading of Ezra will disclose, when Cyrus, king of Persia, gave permission to the captives to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, scarcely 50,000 availed themselves of the privilege, a considerable portion of whom were priests and Levites of the humbler and poorer class. Now we have in this book of Ezra two major divisions. We have the return from Babylon led by Zerubbabel in the first 6 chapters, about 50,000 return. And then we have the return from Babylon led by Ezra. And the return under Zerubbabel you have in the first 6 chapters, and the return led by Ezra in chapters 7 through 10, about 2,000 return with him.